Some people are joining us that haven't been with us for the previous sessions. Welcome. And the Festival of the Holy Name is the annual festival that we have here at the Chicago Temple for prisons in the area and the Midwest, and wherever else people may come from. And in different ways, one of the things we're attempting to do is connect ourselves again with Krishna, the eternal relationship that we have with Krishna that's been forgotten, covered, but is already there. And just to restore it, the primary means for achieving that is through the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And so something that we discussed this morning, I liked the topic. It was liminal space, besides an architecture term. It's become a modern term to indicate kind of like cultural re-engineering or cultural paradigm shifting, going from our present culture to a more desired way of living our lives, spiritual culture. And so we're in the material frame for who knows how long, countless lifetimes, and striving to go towards another objective, another place, another consciousness. So we discussed that this morning. What it is and what will be supports that will help us, even in the discomfort, just like people that move from one place to another place. Where is Neela Manjari? Is she here? Upstairs. Pujari room. Neela Manjari, come out of the Pujari room. Ta-da! So they only moved from one part of near the temple to another part of near the temple. And the transition of moving from one space to another space, comfortable or a little uncomfortable. I mean, you like where you were going, but the transition effort, uncomfortable. And they just moved from one house to another house, right, like, you know, some number of blocks away. Thank you. What to speak of all the other kinds of transitions that life has us go through. We may have to close the windows because of screaming children. Sorry, folks. And to go from our conditioned material existence to Goloka, that's a big transition. It's not a small one. And it's a transition of consciousness, not just a transition of physical location. Anyway, there are supports, there are things that can help us to go. So we'll be prepared. All of this, another dimension, all of this is to help us for Sunday when we'll be engaging in extra japa and the kirtan element is absorption of the holy name in the kirtan form. So it's to help us transition from where we are to where we want to be, that big gap between us and where we want to be. So one of the stages, we heard this the first day, one of the stages is taste. There's 9 stages in bhakti, from shraddha all the way to Krishna prema. And one of the stages is taste, ruchi. We heard, we'll hear something more about taste. It's a stage that comes after steadiness in bhakti. Then comes the taste. So if you don't have a taste yet, first become steady in bhakti, then you're ready for a taste for the name. And to get to the stage of steady in bhakti, there's another big patch. GPS shows it's all red up there. It's all like jammed up. Accidents left and right and anarjana vritti, the eradication of the unwanted things within. Be ready for a slow moving period when you hit that patch. And we're already in that patch because even at the very beginning, you'll hear, even at the very beginning, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that when through association of sadhu, remember we heard this preliminary desire for self-realization, then there's arrangement made by Krishna who knows you have that desire for sadhu sangha. And then through sadhu sangha, the activities of sadhus, what sadhus do, you do. So here we are. And when that stage is reached, according to Bhaktivinoda, there's already some taste. It's faint, but it's already there. And then it is meant to be matured through the eradication of unwanted things. Anartha Nivritti, then Nishtha, then taste. So acquiring a taste, a very nice metaphor of acquiring a taste is like a bee that's attracted to honey. You know Prabhupada's example, flies are attracted to sores. Crows are attracted to garbage in some filthy place, and bees are attracted to honey. And amongst those things that are sweet for bees to be attracted to, one of our favorite songs with our festival of holy name is this Kevalastakam, the very first line, Madharam Madharebhyopi, amongst all madhu or sweet things, it's the superlative. It's the sweetest amongst all sweet things. The holy name. Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. So that sweetness, according to our acharyas, that sweetness of the honey is remembrance of Krishna. Because we've forgotten Krishna, and the remembrance of Krishna in any way, shape, or form is sweet. It's life. And the other is diseased condition. That's, this is our happy and healthy condition. So there's several of our great acharyas and scriptures that have spoken specifically about this honey-like nature of the name. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. This is Sanatana Goswami writing. There's many things to be attracted to or find happiness in. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. And here's another from Skanda Purana. The holy name of Krishna is the highest benediction above any other benedictions. It is sweeter than the sweetest honey, the eternal fruit of transcendental knowledge of the tree of the entire scriptures. That sounds like something from the Bhagavatam, but it's from Skanda Purana. And here's something from the Bhagavatam. The holy name of Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest honey. Same. The most beneficial activity among all auspicious deeds. And so forth. Many such, specifically speaking of the name being sweet or name being the sweetest of all honey or sweeter than the sweetest honey. That's the name. Some of you may recognize this photo. I'm sure Govinda recognizes this photo. Akinchana Das Babaji was a contemporary of Srila Prabhupada and a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta, and he loved chanting. He loved kirtan, he loved japa, he loved the holy name. Little story, Akinchana Das Babaji. When he was, before it was Babaji, he was a brahmachari living in one of the Gaudiya Math temples, and he just liked chanting. So one time when Bhaktisiddhanta was visiting that particular Gaudiya Math center, the person, the administrator, complained. This Akinchana, he doesn't do any service, he just chants. And so Bhaktisiddhanta examined what he was doing, and he was actually just chanting and chanting and chanting, and he said, that's the perfection. Let him just chant. You can one day be like that, but he's at the stage of perfection. He's just chanting and chanting. It wasn't to escape. There was a Prabhupada disciple. I don't think it's a problem saying, because it's kind of like an ISKCON joke. See if I can remember his name. It just went away. Govinda. He stayed for many years in Vrindavan. Prabhupada disciple. And just chanted. Kind of chubby. Huh? Not Brahmananda. No, no. He's brown and chubby, but I forget his name. And maybe as I start speaking, I'll remember his name. And he would chant, he would have his hand in his bead bag all day long. He never did any service. And whenever anybody asked him, at Vashal, Prabhu. And everybody asked him to do any service, he would just smile and say, I've got to chant my rounds, Prabhu. Then he would engage in conversation and, eat a lot and do lots of other things. But he just didn't have any regular service. So, Akinchana Das Babaji was not like that. It was his love for the holy name. Here's another little Vishal story. I've said this many times, that we were going on a morning walk, going out from Prabhupada's quarters along the side of the temple, out the front gate. Of course, his samadhi was not there. It was just a big courtyard and kind of like a fountain in the middle. And out the front gate, made a right to go on the morning walk. And Vishal, bless his heart, just prostrated himself in front of everybody, including Prabhupada, so nobody could go anywhere, paying obeisances. And he was paying long obeisances. It was loud. He was Vishal. And then he stood up with a big smile and folded palms, and Prabhupada looked at him and said, Vishal, do something practical. So, Akinchinadas Babaji was doing something practical. He was demonstrating love for the holy name. Here's from something that he wrote. Chanting the holy name of Krishna is true nectar. The holy name is like honey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bibi Govinda Maharaj had a wonderful relationship with him, very affectionate relationship with him. Prabhupada had a very affectionate relationship with him. Many stories, very affectionate. He had such high regard for Prabhupada, for the missionary work that he was doing. So, not like, how come you're not chanting like me? Someone may have that absorption as he did, and Prabhupada had the absorption of giving the name to the world, which was empowered and filled with compassion. But at the same time, Prabhupada fully respected what he was doing and vice versa. So, the holy name is like honey. And last year, Festival of Holy Name, we recited this verse together maybe 6 times. Each class was focused on this one verse, so we'll, one more time. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Satapya Vidya Pito Patapta Vasanasya Narochikano Kintwa Darad Anudinam Kalo Jaiva Jushta Svadhi Kramad Bhavatitad Guramu Lahantri. This is Nectar of Instruction, text number 7. The translation reads, the holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, or ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish, this is this ruchi, or taste, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So, awakening a taste for the holy name, here it is. Every day, simply by carefully chanting these sweet names. So we spent a whole class just discussing carefully chanting from different perspectives, angles, ways of considering. Carefully chanting, then a taste awakens, a natural relish. So what's at the heart of carefully chanting? It's bhakti. And bhakti is the key to how we can carefully chant, or how we can chant carefully. The chanting is wonderful. And what makes it come to the stage where taste awakens, it requires carefully chanting, and carefully chanting is bhakti. And we heard in the morning, first morning, the essence of of that bhakti, the heart of bhakti. Well, here's what we did. What's at the heart of bhakti? And we heard from Rupa Goswami, there's the process itself. The processes of bhakti, and there's Krishna is the object of the processes of bhakti, the Vishaya, remember that discussion? And Anukulyena, the intent or intention to please Krishna. That's at the heart of the heart of the heart of bhakti. And that's our heart, or that's the heart of every living entity. Now, we normally don't think like that. I know I normally don't think like that. There's a tree. What happened? Can somebody say what happened to the tree that was in the temple room for umpteen years? In where? Outside? And then when the winter comes, it's going to come back inside. Oh. Did you ask him, are you happy to go outside to miss the kirtan? You just took him outside. More sun and... Ask him, see what he says. I want the kirtan. Take me back to the temple. Anyway. The other day I was in Naperville. It was nice, getting warm, kind of. You know, you want to be been indoors for the cold. So I was outdoors having lunch. And there's a little table, and on the table was a coconut, you know, with lunch. It was one of those, the coconut that had been shaved, all the green stuff, and so it was all the white pulp on the outside. And so looking at the coconut, and there was this little tiny red spider. And he was doing mountain climbing, you know, the fibers of the shaved coconut weren't all smooth. And he was like going on an expedition looking for happiness. Climbing up, going back down, going around, going up the other side. And I was thinking of this verse. You know, not only inside the heart is an atma, jivatma, but inside the heart of that jivatma is the intention to please Krishna. He just took a wrong turn somewhere and got a body of a little red spider. It's going to take a long time to get to the human form of life again, where he can be able to realize who he really is. Until then, he's thinking he's a little red spider, looking for happiness. And we're in a human form of life after many, 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 many lifetimes of evolutionary process to come to the human form of life looking for happiness. Is it over here? Is it over there? And you know, finding out it's not over here, it's not over there. But we're very determined because there's got to be happiness So we keep looking. And then some good fortune comes along and we meet someone that's carrying bhakti and they give us the gift of bhakti. We go, wow, maybe that's happiness. And so we do some bhakti. We do some of the activities of the nine processes of bhakti. Then we start to realize, really, it's Krishna to be pleased. And then to realize who we really are requires who we really are, awakens the intention to please Krishna is who we really are. Kishore Kishori Ki. Yeah. So that's at the heart of bhakti, which is at the heart of carefully chanting, which is at the heart of getting a taste. So acquiring a taste requires the intention of pleasing Krishna when chanting Krishna's name. The intent to please Krishna. Strive to serve his name, because it's right in this Atakshi Krishna Nama Adi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhi. We refer to that verse twice. It's in the purport of Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada this writes this, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, it's the mood of service. We can enter into a mood of being always connected to the name by the natural mood of service. In the mood of service, one of the ways is attending to the needs. But what does Krishna need? Krishna's full. He's purna. He doesn't need anything. So what do you do for someone that doesn't need anything? You offer your heart to that person. You offer love to that person. You offer service with love to that person, although they don't need anything. And that's what bhakti is. We offer loving service to Krishna who doesn't need anything. But he's happy to receive our love. Whose happiness is unlimited, his happiness is increased. Where's Rati? Oh, no, not Namaruchi, Rati. He's in the pujari room. Rati, come out of the pujari room. He's where? Fourth floor pujari room. Okay. So Rati brought up, and then we had some discussion about it outside of the class time, this receiving mode when chanting, as opposed to the I'm going to do it mode, it's the receiving mode. Just a little sharing on that topic. You can share with Rati that we spoke about this. Many of you know Anuttama Prabhu. He's our local GBC and Minister of Communications. He doesn't answer his emails so well, but he is the Minister of Communications. There's Rati. Hey. From the fourth floor pujari room to the temple room. Okay, so we're on the receiving. Rati? We're on this receiving topic. Receiving the name. Ready? So Anuttama shared more than once that he's been attending in his role as communications minister for the world. He attends conferences, a number of different types of conferences, but one of the types of conferences is the interfaith conferences. People from different faiths come together and have feel-good experience. You know, they start to appreciate one another's faith, respecting the differences of faith and trying to appreciate the essences of the sameness of their faiths. Something like that. So he's been going to these for, you know, maybe 3 decades. You know, this is national ones. You know, it's a big thing in Washington, D.C., generally, as far as I understand it. And so one of the chief persons who's been like the chairman of this thing for many times said to Anuttama, you know, in Christianity, we often say, God loves you. And you Krishna people, you always say, serving God. I like it. Instead of, you know, acknowledging that God loves you, what are you going to do about that? It's just like, you know, mom and dad love you. What are you going to do about that? You know, you do some service. You express your gratitude to them for their love for you. And you do some service. So I like that. I'm going to start speaking that message from now on, from the pulpit, the place where a Christian minister preaches, gives his sermon. So purposefully, one of the things that doing what Anuttama is doing, of course, is just having people not think we're weird, because they get to know us, we're not weird. We're just warm and happy people, Now, we dress differently, have a different hairstyle, but everyone has a different hairstyle these days, so. Warm and happy, gentlemanly people. So there's some connection in that sense, but also then influencing their ideas that's, you know, from the civic succession, service to God. Anyway, this attending to the name is our doorway to taste for the name. It's service to the name and the mood of not just receiving but serving the name. That's indicating that the master rings the bell and the servant just does whatever the master who rings the bell wants. That's what the image is intended to convey. In Prabhupada, the setup when he was traveling, wherever he had his Prabhupada's quarters, he had a little bell system, a buzzer. Over there, in some other faraway room, was his servant, and if he wanted the servant, he didn't like ring a bell, he just pressed a little buzzer, and the buzzer, little electronic thing, sent a signal to the bell, and the servant heard the bell, and then he came because Prabhupada wanted. So that the idea here is, attend to the name. Like a servant attends to the master, and we serve the master. Krishna is he's the Vishaya. He's the object of love. He's the one who's to be the enjoyer. He is the Purusha. And we're the Prakriti meant for the pleasure of Purusha. When we're chanting, that's the happiness. So I was just thinking this, just some appreciation for Govinda. After the Gaura Arti and everyone went to take prasadam, Govinda stayed here with some devotees. It wasn't like a big gathering. Hopefully tomorrow evening when we have Nama Yoga, it's a big gathering. But it was just a few handful of devotees that really like kirtan and the deities. And at least my contemplation was, this is for the pleasure of the deities. It wasn't for an orchestration and a fan club. It was the pleasure of the deities. And when one chants in that way, then it's a whole other level of happiness because it's the happiness of the object of love. And that's the name, and then also the deity form and the name are not different, etc. So when one can enter that space, this intention to please Krishna's space, then attention follows intention. Should I say it again? This is a Vaisheshika Prabhu. It's like a rap message. Attention follows intention. Attention follows intention. So behind attention is what's your intention? Say it negatively. If your intention is not to please Krishna, you won't be able to stay focused attentively. You can be attentive for a while, but so what's wanted is the intention. The intention of being in this mood of service, because that's who we are. We're servants of Krishna. We want the name. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, O Radharani, O internal potency of Krishna, please engage me in Krishna's service. It's an appeal for service, right? And so if they were appealing for service, what should be the mood when you're appealing for service? I want service. Attend to the name. Be the servant of the name. And when you're awakened to the service of the name, your attention is stronger, you're chanting more carefully, your taste for the name will come. You're on the path. such loving, attentive service, mood, attracts the all-attractive's mercy. There is a reciprocation. When we attend in the mood of service to the name, mercy comes. And the mercy is this taste. The name bestows the taste. It's not we go to the Kmart and purchase some taste. It's name bestows by awakening our natural attraction. And Krishna appears. I mean, he's already there, but a consciousness of Krishna becomes awakened. Another way of saying the same thing, it's just another way of saying the same thing, is the process of bhakti is a bhakti creeper. And lata, bhakti lata, is the bhakti creeper. And to acquire a taste for the name, there's these stages of bhakti that begins with shraddha. So, adau shraddha, what comes next? Sadhu sangha. So, here's Bhakti Vinod Thakur writing, taken directly from his Bhajan of, what is it? Krishna Bhajanam, no, not Krishna Bhajanam. Bhajana Rahasya, thank you. Shraddha, which develops for bhakti, because we have faith in something, but when you have association of devotees, then the faith in bhakti awakens. And that faith in bhakti that awakens through sadhu sangha, even in the beginning stage, it has some taste, because bhakti in the mature stage is prema, there's some element of taste even in the beginning. Now, we start making offenses and that taste wanes, but there's happiness. I'll share something. I'll come back to Bhakti Vinod. One of the reasons I keep going back to China is how soft the hearts of the people of China are. I've had literally 30 experiences, probably more than 30, with audience that don't know nothing about nothing. They've never heard anything about bhakti, never heard anything Bhagavad Gita, they never heard kirtan, and we're somewhere in a public place. I'm not wearing a dhoti, tilak, it's none of the outward signs of reminding people of Krishna. And during kirtan, people cry. And they say afterwards, what happened? When this, you were beginning to sing, tears started coming from my eyes. My whole body started to tremble. I was feeling feelings I've never felt before in my life, etc. And what was that? It's not just one time, many times, different places, different audiences, different, there's so many differences. Soft hearts. Keeps me going there and encouraging Govinda to go and teach kirtan to the people. He's busy doing many things, including being a new father, so he can't be so free as he was before. But there's taste even in the beginning stages. It's a shadow of the pure, but it's there. Shraddha, which develops for bhakti, is endowed with ruchi. And this shraddha that's endowed with ruchi is none other than the seed of the Bhakti Lata, or creeper of devotion, which is sown in the heart of the jiva. Now, it's sown in the heart of the jiva, while at the same time it's already there. Sown in the heart of the jiva can be understood. One way it can be understood is it just becomes awakened. Or the awakened state becomes sown in the heart. This bhakti, the faith in bhakti. So then he goes on to say, only the shraddha which is endowed with ruchi for bhakti culminates in the symptoms of bhakti. The symptoms of bhakti unfold when you have this faith in bhakti, because there's embedded within it. It's endowed with ruchi. Now, the weak. But when we carefully chant, that weak becomes, the potential is there to become stronger, stronger, and stronger. This sharanapati is a term that Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used a lot. Apati means attaining. So attaining sharana. So sometimes you would, songs are sharanagati. That's on the way to sharana. And sharanapati is more matured. It's attaining the stage of shelter. So charanapati, what is called charanapati, is where there's symptoms of bhakti that awaken because there's faith or shraddha in bhakti itself, which has some ruchi. So then it just matures. Just stay with it. Carefully avoid offenses and stay with the process faithfully in good association. And, you know, like we're trying to do here, bring the little bit of bhakti that each of us have and bring us all together and fan it. It's like bring embers of a fire together into a little close pile and fan it. The fire comes out again. That's what we're doing, or attempting to do. Jiva Goswami says something quite similar in his Bhakti Sandarbha. Shraddha is not one of the nine limbs of bhakti, but it's an attribute for the qualification or adhikar for Shuddha Bhakti. It's a very short saying. It's classic Jiva Goswami, really short, sutra-like. So expand it a little bit. We discussed this. What's the adhikar for attaining bhakti? It's one who doesn't have too much attachment, too much detachment for objects of the senses, and has developed a taste or some faith in the hearing process. That's a candidate for bhakti, and a candidate for bhakti is a candidate for Shuddha Bhakti. But there must be some faith. No. So again, this is Krishna to Uddhava. Remember Jata Shraddha? Remember that? Jamunajiva remembers, because the translation we saw was Bhanu Swami's, not what's in the BBT publication. Jata means awakening of Shraddha. So this jata is Krishna speaking. Same message being expressed by Jiva Goswami here in Bhakti Sandarbha. So the topic for this evening is acquiring a taste for the holy name. There must be some faith in the name and faith in the bhakti process. Of the bhakti process will connect me with Krishna. If I try to please Krishna, this is Nutama's message that the interfaith fellow was appreciating, by serving Krishna, by serving the name, it invokes something within us that keeps us on track to go further and further and further. A life of devotion, a life of connection, where there's real taste. And then, in the maturing stage, is shuddha. Even in the sadhana stage, it can be shuddha. At least the seed of shuddha, and the seeds then sprout. And the sprouting may come some a little faster, some a little slower. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describing in Madhurya Kadambini. We discussed this about a week ago or so in Naperville, the Madhurya Kadambini unfolding of bhakti. It's a taste comes at different stages for different people. He expresses this. But it's there, it's inherent. It's inherent within us, and the taste is bestowed upon us by the name. And once we connect to this place in our heart, service to Krishna becomes so intrinsic to our being. Service in this mood of faithfully serving and feeling ourselves is connected to our service to Krishna through the name, because that's reality. We're connected to our services, whatever they are, services to Krishna, mindfulness in our services to Krishna through the name, the mindfulness of our service mood to the name. And that's awakening a taste. That's our final slide. The bees kind of got lost in the honeycomb. He's not acquiring a taste. He's got a taste. More honey. So that is where practice, the sadhana stage of chanting, leads to all those other higher stages of devotion done properly, carefully chanting. We can acquire a taste and just want more and more. Deliberately, these classes have been a little shorter because I have found our discussion groups are really lively. So it's 8:25. Let's see if there's some comments or questions.
Thank you so much, Prabhupada. I've been told that in the early days, Prabhupada first asked his disciples to chant 64 rounds, and then he brought it down to 16. Assuming that that's correct, if we can chant 64 rounds,
you'll have a chance on Sunday.
Should we? And then, of course, if my service is book distribution, a lot less books probably will go out. What are your thoughts on that? I've missed what you said. I'm so sorry. Something about Sunday.
I'm not sure what you're asking. Can you do it again? I don't do the preamble. That's what's specifically the question. If you're doing distribution of books, how are you going to chant 64 rounds? Or does this distribution of books take place of the 64 rounds? What are you asking?
Well, in the early days, since Prabhupada first asked...
I got the preamble.
So if people could chant 64 rounds, would that be something that Prabhupada would prefer people to do? Or?
Not necessarily. He would prefer that we engage in our missionary work. But he would say, do both. I've heard it. Here's one example. You know, a really working hard devotee. Prabhupada, I have so much service to do. And, you know, it's hard for me to complete my chanting. And it's, what should I do, Prabhupada? He said, do both. He did both. He worked very hard, and he... So, So it depends on our nature and our spiritual qualification. So it's not a cookie cutter answer to your question. Something that for a book distributor to do, Prabhupada wanted very much, just like on Ekadasi days. There are, without going into it too much, there are some persons that advocate, you know, extremism in, you know, extremely observing, because it's right in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Here's how you do it. But not at the expense of the preaching work, because the minimum is our commitment and our preaching work. So like, here's just one example. In Chaupati, they have a requirement that anybody that wants to do some increased austerities or increased chanting, they must do it in such a way that their preaching is not compromised on Ekadasis. And not be wiped out the next day. And you know, it's an understood principle, because that's what Prabhupada wanted, which is your question. Is that more pleasing to our founder Acharya? He wanted us to mature as devotees, and part of maturing as devotees is made possible by the austerities of book distribution and our other austerities of preaching. You sacrifice for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And by getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then you can make spiritual progress, which includes a taste for the holy name. And when the taste for the holy name is there, you'll find a way to chant. You'll find a way to waste less time and do other distracting things, and to do your what's pleasing to Lord Chaitanya, and at the same time the chanting of the holy name. So the essence is remembrance of Krishna. So when doing book distribution, it's remembrance of Krishna, and it's not just getting a score or competing against the other party or competing against some other center, or you know, sending in as much money as you can to the BBT, or you know, something that's on the fruitive side. It's not do those things, but do those things for in such a way that Krishna is pleased. That's the consciousness we're after. And that's, you know, remembrance of Krishna in itself. Thank you for closing the window again. Sorry, Ashok, it's just the nature of the little ones, they... Anyone else? This is a good experiment to see after the arati served prasadam, but if everyone's like kind of asleep after prasadam, then maybe we won't do that anymore. Be set up right after the arati to have the class and then take prasadam. That was what we were doing before. This is Sundari Radha's brainstorm, one of them. So let's see if we have lots of questions like we normally do. Otherwise, we may go back to the other system. Class after RT and then prasadam. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
She's laughing in the kitchen. I can hear her. Go ahead.
Whenever I hear these classes, I'm actually connecting.
Whenever you do what?
I hear these classes, acquiring the taste, or in the morning, going beyond to the other side of the liminal space. That desire is there to develop the intention to please Krishna.
Impetus or anxiety?
Desire is there.
Anxiety is there.
A particular aspect I would like to clarify, Maharaj. I feel there is some kind of fruitive tendencies there that I want to get rid of these anandas and go past this.
That's so the impetus part.
Yes. Yeah, so my question is, while I'm carefully striving on this path, will that fruitive tendency be automatically taken care of? Or do I have to do something specifically for that?
Well, you know, automatically. Bhurijan wrote a nice article on what is that. Prabhupada uses that word automatically. It doesn't mean automatically in the way that we normally think of automatically. It's not mechanical automatically. But it naturally follows in that sense of automatically. So the answer is yes. But there may be some discomfort in between that happening. You know, today and whenever that happens, some discomfort. It's not happening. And then, you know, maybe I'm doing it wrong, or there's something wrong with me, or something wrong with the process, or I'm bad, or, you know, some other negative emotion that kind of inhibits the real essence, the extending ourselves and making an offering to Krishna and depending upon Krishna. It's kind of the noise, the staticky noise, like the kids making all the noise outside. So it's just distracting. It's distracting from the bhakti path. And you just have to tolerate that because we're conditioned. But you don't invest in the noise. You invest in Krishna's very kind and he will help me. You just try to stay connected with faith. Anyone else? Oh, over here. I think I scared everybody by saying we may go back to the other schedule. We're going to get some more questions now.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Were you thinking that for many of us in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, it's exciting and there's a...
Yeah.
You know, there's enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand that definition that you read from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yes.
On Shraddha, that intrinsic in that Shraddha, that initial Shraddha, is Ruchi. And so that Ruchi is what causes that enthusiasm, that sort of new, that sort of happiness and discomfort.
Yeah.
But then when things start to, much later we start to see a diminish on that enthusiasm, and then, you know, things start to come down. So
I'm very familiar with how that pattern goes. Thank you. So now what's the question?
So that Ruchi, what happened to that?
It got covered.
Ruchi?
Just as bhakti got covered, the taste embedded is the word, or intrinsic within it is covered. That's what happened.
Offenses is what makes it.
No, you're asking why does it get covered? But the first question is what happened to that ruchi? It gets covered. Now the next question is why did it get covered? What happened to make it get covered? You're going on to the next question. Okay. That's certainly one. Complacency is another. Complacency. We're, you know, mode of ignorance. I'm fine. What I'm saying here is bhakti, it's The teaching of Lord Kapila Dev to Devahuti. And the teaching of Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. It's that the modes of nature pull us down. We get connected and we feel lifted. But the modes of nature are conditioning if we take shelter of our false shelters, which is an offense. Maintaining material attachments, etc. So, the modes of nature pull us down. And we don't like that discomfort, the lack of enthusiasm, the lack of taste, the lack of happiness. So we get, try to connect again. But those, that's the reason. You can say in simple words, offense.
So that ties to this theme of many of the classes that we're hearing from you in terms of locking in with Krishna, is going back to that ruchi that is intrinsic there.
Yes, yes, yes. And the faith in bhakti has embedded in it ruchi. That's Bhaktivinoda's teaching. It's not something that Prabhupada spoke about a lot. I found it very, very relevant to the topic of acquiring a taste. It's within even the initial stages of faith in the bhakti process, adar shraddha, sadhusanga, bhajana kriya. Someone else. Do you want to jivana?
This was a question from Sri Radhika.
Uh-huh.
She's watching online. Until we connect to this place in our heart when service becomes intrinsic to our being, intensifying our intention seems like a very intellectual exercise.
No, it's not. It's a very devotional exercise.
And then the rest of the question.
Well, I'm responding. If it's intellectual, then it's intermittent, comes and it goes. And if it's devotional, it's more sustainable. It's not intellectual. Intention or enthusiasm with proper intention. Intelligence needs to guide it, yes. But that intelligence that guides, that's something that Krishna gives. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. Yena mamupiyanti te. Who does Krishna give that intelligence to? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. That's who Krishna gives that intelligence to. So it's a bhakti principle. Yes, it's guided by intelligence, but not just like intellectual adjustment. That's my response to her question. Let's see if there's a question over with, okay, someone that hasn't spoken yet. Yes? Mataji, raise your hand so he's okay.
My question is about the practical activity when Srila Prabhupada made a statement of do something practical.
When Srila Prabhupada does what?
Made a statement to the devotee that do something practical.
Uh-huh.
And just reading the Nectar of Instruction, the fourth verse, very first line of Srila Prabhupada starts with devotee service, not being sentimental, speculation or imaginative ecstasy. But the substance of devotional service is practical activity.
Yeah, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam is practical.
I think some places I don't have clarity of what practical activity is. When I start doing practical activity, it feels like I'm disallowed from the, or the doubts start coming from.
Doubts?
The clarity start losing when I start doing the daily.
I'm having difficulty understanding. I'm very sorry. Try it again, slower and clear. You, when you speak slowly, I can follow, and then you get on a roll and you go really fast, and I lose you. Be merciful to me. I want to hear what you say, so I can respond.
I just want to understand more that what is the practical activity being mentioned?
It's the senses engaged with objects of the senses for the pleasure of the master of the senses. That's what it is, in practical terms. Bhakti, you've heard me say this before, that the purport of 6.47, the last verse of chapter 6. The root word of bhakti is bhaj. The dhatu of bhakti is bhaj. And bhaj, bhaj, means senses engaged in practical activities with objects of the senses. Practical activity of the senses engaged with objects of the senses for the pleasure of Krishna. Rishikesha, he's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of his senses. He's the Lord of our senses. He's the Lord of all senses. Our senses are meant for his pleasure. You engage in objects with the senses for his pleasure. Practical. That's the essence. Bhaj. Now, at least my understanding of what Prabhupada was, the intention behind his speaking to Vishal, now that maybe is my perspective, but Vishal was using, I gotta chant my rounds, Prabhu, as a shield to be lazy. With a smile. It became like an impenetrable shield. I don't do any service. I just have this, you know, smile that says, I gotta chant my rounds, Prabhu, and he, you know, bounce his beat bag and say a couple of mantras. And then have another conversation and have another samosa. So, it was just to avoid, I mean, he was a lovely devotee, but he wasn't engaging his senses in practical activity. He was avoiding practical activity in the name of, I gotta chant my rounds, Prabhu. Is that all right? Does that address your question?
Hare Krishna.
So
you are mentioning that the Chinese people, they are very soft-hearted.
In general.
Yeah.
There's certainly exceptions.
Yes. So in your previous classes, you had given a formula which I have forgotten. So if you could kindly say it again. You had said something like a pious heart plus something.
Yes, yeah, sure, okay. No. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. That's the one you're referring to? Okay. That's what you wanted? Okay. You're happy? Okay. Rupa Vilas, something is churning. I can feel the gears turning and... Huh? Formulate. Okay. He's a professor. He's formulating. Okay. Okay, we're done. So, oh, yes, I'm sorry. Back here.
So, in your classes, a fear has arisen in my heart. I'm not saying it's valid, but I want to address it and see what you have to say. If you're willing to be so kind. Is there ever a danger in taking full shelter of the holy name? My fear is that my productivity will diminish.
Oh, absolutely wrong. You become more productive. Which is stronger? Light or darkness? Which is stronger, Krishna's internal or external potency? Anything that you're good at, connect it with Krishna bhakti, and you're much better at it. Your productivity just expands. By, according to Krishna's plan, not according to my plan, your plan, but your productivity is, it's in Krishna's hands and he doesn't make you less productive. You may be like, you know, how am I going to do all this stuff, kind of, but not less productive. Empowered. And, you know, the intelligence is sharper, greater strength, less sleep, less indulgence and distraction, just like the opposite of less productive. It's just like, you know, how you going to manage all that energy? So now what's the next doubt? You have another doubt?
You mean if I let go of this subtle sex desire, fame,
everything,
adoration, distinction,
and everything,
becoming huge, and because that's been like a thing, and so I'm big from that, using that, and Krishna's mercy only. So if I let that go, take full shelter of the holy name, I'll still be able to do a lot of work.
Still be able to do which?
Do a lot of work.
Do the what?
I'll still be able to distribute a lot of book.
Oh, what? Come on. Yeah. More than a lot of books. Beyond your imagination. Now. What if you enter into a patch where the quantity starts to shrink? When you're becoming more devoted to Krishna and focused in your japa and the results are diminishing. What's that? Maharaj was lying. He didn't tell the truth. That's not what it is. Or Krishna was lying. He didn't tell the truth. It's, you know, Krishna's examining your determination and making your determination stronger and your focus and dependence upon him stronger. You may not feel that when you're going through it, but when you're on the other side of it, you realize that's what it was. We're short-sighted. What's nearsighted vision? We don't have, but as we mature in devotion, vision becomes broader and more complete. And then we can see. Personal example in Prabhupada's life is Krishna took everything away. And when he was going through that, he shared. I thought, oh. And then he realized by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, this was Krishna's special mercy. Special mercy. And now, far more than what he had is, you know, so many times more than what he had. But it's all for Krishna. And he wasn't, at least in his own words, wasn't thinking in the same way during that period of his life. Krishna took it all away, gave his two lotus feet, and then gave more. So you may pass through a patch of time that looks restrictive, but that's not the long term. It's strengthening. Spiritually strengthening, determination strengthening, exclusive shelter in Krishna strengthening. And then Krishna can give you everything and you won't get proud and you won't get, you know, oh, look at me, I'm the enjoyer of my success in bhakti. That's one of the, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's one of the anarthas in the heart. You've already, you know, gotten, you know, prepared for that one by removing pride. Because the tendency for pride is real easy. Become a little successful at anything, you may get proud, materially, spiritually. Real easy. And Krishna will protect us if we want his shelter. How's that? Okay. He's ready for full shelter now. No more doubts. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki. Sundari Radha was just upstairs, so don't go away anywhere. She wanted to say something or other. And you find her. She took her kitchen apron off. But I'm sure there's something she wants to share with all of you. Well, I'm stalling for time, but what's that? Yes, I know. You're helping me stall for time. Thank you. She's going to get the message and come running up momentarily. We just, ta-da, there she is, Sundari Radha. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story while we're waiting for Sundari Radha. This came from the Your Ever Well Wisher. One devotee, Prabhupada disciple, was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was leaning over his desk, or he called it a coffee table, and saying, "Do you see that ant?" And the devotee said, "I know that Prabhupada is external representative of Supersoul, so there must be an ant, but I don't see an ant. But I don't want to say I can't see the ant, because then I look foolish, and if I say I see the ant, then I'm a liar, so I don't know what to say." And then Prabhupada's mood shifted a little bit, and Prabhupada said, seemed like he wanted to move on with some service, and said, "My obligation is to help this ant. My meditation should be to somehow help the ant become Krishna conscious." And then the devotee said, "Not only there's an ant that I can't see, but now I have some service to do that I didn't know about that one either." And that, so then, at the perfection of our Krishna consciousness is to help the ant, give him prasadam, chant the holy name. If we can save this one ant and help this one ant become Krishna conscious, our movement is successful. So here's Sundari Radha, ready to